The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shal elyon. Peace and prosperity to the saints of the Most High God. It's good to say that all the time, you know. Peace and prosperity to the saints of God and the servants of God, because that's where we put our hope. We do hope in that. And God is faithful. You know, these things we got to remember about God, that you know he's our peace, you know, but he's also our hope. He's our faithfulness. You know, there's so many things, attributes of God that we need to remember about him. It's endless and boundless, you know, the attributes to talk about what God is. But today we're going to be talking about hope. Hope, you know, hoping in God, God of hope. Let's compare that to worldly hope. What is worldly hope? Worldly hope is just wishful thinking, a gambling concept. You know, like, I hope my football team wins today. You know, I hope this happens. I hope that happens. That's wishful thinking. That's worldly concept of hope. However, godly hope is different. Godly hope of the Bible says it's or basically what it is when you put it all together, a faith expectation of a fulfillment of a promise. That's, you know, we're looking for a fulfillment of a promise. That's the hope that we have in God. So that expectation that God will fulfill, that's why it's a faith expectation. We believe that he will eventually fulfill all the promises he gave in the Bible, and that's hope. You know, it's also faith working together with hope. But you don't hear too many people talk about hope. But that's what hope is. It's an expectation of a fulfillment of a promise in God's word. You know, for instance, salvation, rapture, eternal life, rewards, kingdom, living in the heavenly city, a place built by God. These are all things that we have hope in. And faith is what holds that whole hope up. Faith and hope work together. And that we believe in these things and have hope in these things. So we're going to go through some of those scriptures today about hope, that hopefully it will encourage you and uphold you, and realize that we should have hope in God, to have that expectation of a fulfillment of God's promises that he's given us in his word. Psalms 119 verses 114 says, "You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word." So here's a classic scripture here that says we should hope in his word. We should know what his word says. You know, if you don't know what his word says, how can you hope in his word? You know, what did he say? How can you have hope if you don't know what he said in his word? So you know, if you want to build up your hope in God, you better read the word of God. That's what's so important. Read the word of God and your hope will build up. And your faith will build up. All of these will work together. So how can you hope if you don't have the word of God? Psalms 130 verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait in his word. Do I hope? Another scripture talking about hoping in his word. Understanding his word. When you read his word, you could take it to the bank for a surety. That's what he's going to do. And whatever he says he will do, he will do, because God does not lie. And so when you see that in his word, then build hope in that. And then we have to patiently wait for that hope to be fulfilled. You know, we're not a type of people that, well, this hope never came to be, you know, in my lifetime, so I'm not sure I believe anymore. No, the Bible says to have hope and patiently wait for it. We have to wait, patiently wait for the fulfillment of God's words at all times. And so, again, like I said, if you don't know what his word says, what do you hope in? Do you hope in what somebody told you on TV? Do you hope in something that you read in some book somewhere? Do you hope in something somebody told you? Is that where you put your hope? I hope not. Your hope should be in the Lord at all times, according to his word. And if you don't know his word, then you're going to have a hard time developing a hope. You need that hope. Psalms 147, verse 11 says, "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy." Do we have hope in his mercy? Do we really hope in his mercy? What is hope? Expectation. It's a faith action. So do you live your life with that hope, putting your faith into action, knowing that someday that it's going to come to be a fulfillment of those scriptures, you know, that we hope in his mercy. Of course we hope in his mercy. If we don't hope in his mercy, then we are the most miserable of all people. But we do hope in his mercy. He said it, I believe it, and thus it will be. That should be our answer. That's the way we should live our lives. We know that these things will take place, and we hope in his mercy. That's grace. We hope in his grace. Do you believe what he said about grace? If you do and you're hanging on to it, then you have hope in his grace. You have hope in his mercy. If you don't hang on to what he has said in his word, then you will live in constant fear. You will live in constant doubt in your life all the time. And we can't do that. We have to have hope in his word. And that's why it's very important to read his word. Well, Rabbi, I don't know, you know, I don't understand what he's saying in his word. Then ask God. I've said this so many times. If you do not understand what God is saying in his word, ask him. Ask him and say, Lord, I don't understand this. Show me. He always does. He always has for me. And I say, Lord, I don't understand this. Maybe he doesn't do it right then and there, but somewhere down the line, very shortly, I will run across something that subtly explains what the scripture says. Ask him, Lord, I don't understand what I just read here. Would you please help me? Of course, if you have the Holy Spirit, that's a big part of it. When you got the Holy Spirit, it will help you understand God's word. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you are lacking. You need to go get the Holy Spirit in your life. Just call upon God and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want your Holy Spirit, Lord, that I can understand your word much clearer than what I am doing today. And you know, and God is faithful and just to do it. He will give you understanding. He'll give you gifts through the Holy Spirit that help you to understand even better. So if you're having a hard time understanding God's word, ask him for the Holy Spirit to be in your life. And then you will begin to understand these things. Proverbs 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. So that's false hope. We don't have a false hope. We have a godly hope. We don't have a false hope. We are not wishful thinking and gambling. Well, I hope this happens. I hope that happens. No. We have a hope that's built on faith that it will come to fruition, that it will take place. That's the kind of hope we have. And the righteous shall be glad, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. So this is why it's very important to have a godly hope. Proverbs 14, verse 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous has hope in his death. This is a confirming hope. This is, so we have hope in our death. We know that when we die, the Bible says you're appointed once to die and then judgment. To all of you that believe in reincarnation, you are way out of the left field. There is no such thing in the Bible as reincarnation. You're appointed once to die and then judgment. And so this, you know, when we talk about the two witnesses of Revelation coming back, that's why, you know, we pretty much believe it's going to be Elijah and Enoch, two guys that did not die. Two guys that never died. You know, Enoch was translated right away. Elijah was taken away from the earth in a flaming chariot. They did not die. And that's why I believe they'll be the two witnesses of Revelation. They'll come back and start presenting God to the world, and the world will hate them, and the beast of Revelation will hate them, then the beast will kill them. So they will still get their death eventually, because it's appointed to us once to die and then judgment. So if you understand these scriptures like that, then you won't fall prey to people that say, well, Moses is going to be one of the witnesses. Well, it can't be. Moses died, was buried on Mount Nebo. So he cannot be one of the witnesses. So it's good to understand God's word. Well, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is the tree of life. So that's what we're saying, you know, that if hope is delays in coming, it can try to make you sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. But when that hope is fulfilled in your life, it's like a tree of life. Proverbs 14:32. We talked about that already, that we have hope in our death. That's very important to understand. We have hope in our death. If you are to die today, do you have hope in your death? Do you expect to stand before the Lord and rejoice in the Lord? Or do you have a fearful thought about dying? Or do you have a fearful thought that you may not see God, or maybe you're not going to go where you think you're going to go? Well, God bears witness with those that are His. Sons and daughters that are His, He bears witness with your spirit that you are indeed a son and daughter of God, son or daughter of God. So if He bears witness, this means he talks to your spirit. He tells you that you're His. This is why those that are born again can say, I know that I know that I know that I am saved. I know that I am God's. Because God's spirit is talking to their spirit and witness to it that we know we are saved. If you don't have that assurance, that blessed assurance in you, that you know that you're saved, then you really have a serious problem here. Because God will testify to you that you are His. And this is important that we do this and understand that we know without a doubt that we are God's. Isaiah 38:18. For the grave cannot praise you, death cannot celebrate you. They that go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. So those without God that die, they cannot praise God in the death. They cannot celebrate. The grave cannot rise up. They are gone. And so they that go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth, which is the opposite is for us. We do hope for His truth. We do hope for the fulfillment of His truth. Jeremiah 17:17. Be not a terror unto me. You are my hope in the day of evil. The Lord is not a terror unto us. He will be our hope in the day of evil. It doesn't say what evil that day is. It could be anything, really. But in the day that looks like things are really going to go bad, you know, He will not be a terror unto us. We will have hope in Him. We will have hope in the day of evil. It's important that we latch on to those kind of things. Lamentations 3:26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We should hope and wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, that salvation will come when God's ready for it to come. But we hope and quietly wait for it, the salvation of the Lord. It's not talking about necessarily being saved, you know. It's talking about when he redeems you, when he brings you up in that incorruptible body in the rapture, that salvation. When that day comes, we should be hoping for that day, and we just quietly wait for it. Lamentations 3:29. He puts his mouth in the dust. And that dust, the word dust in Hebrew, could also be translated ashes. So be there may be hope. So it's saying here that we put our mouth in the ashes or the dust to obtain our hope. That's talking about humility, repentance can bring hope. And that's important to understand. Repentance is and humility is very important before the Lord. You know, Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we have to remember that humility is really important. So now you understand why, you know, some religions, they put ashes on their forehead. The Catholics put ashes on their forehead. It's based off this scripture. He puts his mouth in the dust or ashes so there may be hope. So they put the ashes on their forehead so there may be hope in the Lord of redemption, the fulfillment of his promises in the Bible. You know, so hope is a major concept of God's. Okay, Hosea 2:15. And I will start off with Hosea 2:14 first. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. Like what this is talking about, Hosea, that God will have a remnant out of Israel. And when the day of evil comes, when the beast is gathering the nations against Israel, God will take this remnant and they will flee into the wilderness to the original Mount Sinai in northern Saudi Arabia. That's where the Sinai is, in northern Saudi Arabia. It's not on the Egyptian Sinai Peninsula. It's in Saudi Arabia. The evidence there is overwhelming. And so when that time comes, God will allure her. Because you got to remember in Hosea, we find out that God divorced Israel. But he will re-betroth Israel. Divorced for a season, but then he will remarry Israel. And so so when his time comes, he will lure her, he will entice, he will persuade her to come into the wilderness to join with him. And there he will speak comfortably to her. Then we get to verse 15 of Hosea 2. And it says, I will give her the vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when he came up out of the land of Egypt, or when she came up out of the land of Egypt. So this is talking about God will re-betroth Israel, bring her into the wilderness, and there she will be with God at the real Mount Sinai. And then after God teaches her, I think in the Bible it probably refers to they're going to be in the wilderness for 3.5 years during this time. So God will be teaching them again. And then they will return to the land of Israel. And when they return to the land of Israel, they will go to Achor for a door of hope. That's in the same place they entered Israel in the first place. If you remember the story that Israel crossed the Jordan River, right there in the valley of Achor, and there they had their first battle with the city of Jericho. Now God told the people in Jericho, or the soldiers, when they defeated Jericho, they cannot take any of the spoils of Jericho, for it's God's. Because Jericho was the first fruits of the Hebrews coming in the land of Israel. So everything the Hebrews got in the first fruits belonged to God. In other words, only the priest and the Levites can take that. But there was a man called Achan, and it caused trouble for Israel. Achan saw some beautiful Babylonian garments, and he took them and he buried them in his tent outside of Ezekiel, or outside of Jericho. And so when Israel went on to attack the city of Ai next, the little town of Ai beat them and chased them away. And Joshua was upset and asked the Lord, why? What happened? What did we do? And the Lord told him, says, there's sin in the camp. So Joshua went around everybody and tried to find out who sinned at Jericho. And so when he got to Achan, there Achan finally testified and said, well, we took some garments, you know, and I buried them in the bottom of my tent. So Joshua sent soldiers to check it out. And then when they got there, they found the garments, and they brought them back. So Joshua told Achan that because of what you did, many Israeli soldiers died in the Battle of Ai. You caused the death of many. So you were really guilty of murder because you did not follow what God said. And then Achan's family and Achan were stoned to death at that point. Then Israel attacked Ai again, and they were victorious and taken the city. Yeah, so, you know, when you disobey God, I mean, he flat told him, do not take any of the spoils. But Achan couldn't help it. He decided he had to take what he saw. And sometimes God says, we don't do that. You know, we don't take these spoils. It's first fruits. First fruits always belong to God. It's the same concept as in tithing and offerings. You know, the first, it always belongs to God. And when you don't give it, you're bringing a curse upon yourself, just like a curse came upon Achan because he took the garments of the first fruits of the conquering of Israel. So we have to be careful about those kind of things. Yeah, so then we learn in Hosea 2:18 that God will make a covenant for them, Israel, with the beasts and the fowls and the creepy things, and will break the bow and the sword in the battle. Will make them lie down safely. So God is saying here that I will give you peace in that land. I'll make a covenant with the beast. In other words, no wild lions or wolves or whatever will kill anybody, and neither will the fowls cause trouble, or any creepy things like snakes will cause us trouble. And you cause them to lie down safely. This is a promise of God in the land of Israel. So no longer will they worship false gods, but they will worship the Lord God himself. And so these are promises. So we have hope in these promises. And I'm sure Israel would like to have hope in these promises and believe in them someday for all the trouble they're experiencing in the land. Verse 19, Hosea 2 says, I will re-betroth you to me forever. God says, you are my people. And Israel will say, you are my God. So even though God divorced Israel, you know, they got married at Mount Sinai originally. And then, when they said, all that you say we will do, that's like saying, I do, in a wedding vow. And then now God rejected them and divorced them. Now he's going to bring them back and re-betroth them, remarry them again. And so that promise is there. And Israel should have hope in that promise, knowing that they once again will become the bride of the Lord himself. Interesting. Promises. Lots of promises. And we got to hang on to those promises all the time with God, because those promises, what gives us hope. And they are a godly hope. They are an expectation of something that will be, not might be, but will be fulfilled somewhere down the line. So that's where we put our hope. Our hope is an expectation of fulfillment of what God said. And a hope is in that. It's a blessed hope. So folks, just remember that all the time. We'll continue this next week. That we have hope in the Lord. So God bless everybody. May you flourish today and be healed today in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.